ho, ladies and gentlemen. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm your EE hostess with the mostest, Amelia Dalton. And this week, my friends, we're diving into human-machine interfaces. Yep, HMI. And not just any old HMI, handwriting recognition and HMI, all with interactive ink. Oh yes, we're about to flip the script on your plain old stylus. My guest this week is Gary Baum from MyScript, and we're about to talk about all of this and more. Hi, Gary. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me. This is going to be fun.
Okay, Gary. So for my audience who may not know, what is MyScript all about?
So MyScript has been around well over 10 years. It was founded by a very, very talented PhD individuals with the vision of making handwriting useful and turning it into the digital format. So handwriting recognition, but it's not just text. With respect to text or characters or cursive, we do all cursive. We do right-to-left languages, left-to-right languages. We actually will translate, in some case, transcode languages from about 95% of the world's population. So literally, we blanket the world with understanding how you write. But we not only do text, we do graphics, shapes, diagrams, geometric types of diagrams. We recognize music. We have one of our partners that use our music recognition so you can handwrite music and compose and create FAFs, and it's all done in digital format. So there's pretty big breadth. And most likely we're best known for our free app in iOS in the Apple Store and the Android Play Store called MyScript Calculator, where you literally just write your numbers, your function, and the calculator will give you the answer. And it even solves algebraic questions. So you can put in an algebraic equation and solve for the missing X or missing Y.
Very cool. Now, Gary, let's talk about HMI and handwriting recognition. How do you see handwriting recognition driving the evolution of HMI?
That's a great question. So I think if you go all the way up to the top level, computers have forced humans to learn how to interface with them in the way the machine was very comfortable. Hence a keyboard, a throwback all the way to the typewriter days. Hence a mouse to try to manipulate the graphics. And all those things are wonderful and great inputs, but they're not very natural. So in more recent times, our multimodal inputs have included HMI features such as voice, in some cases gestures, the output instead of just being screens. Depending on the environment, for example, in automotive, you might have a heads-up display. In automotive, you might have a touchpad for writing, but the characters have to be written on top of one another, a function we call superimpose. So the handwriting recognition itself has evolved over the years, now quite accurate. And the vision is to make anything you write with a good digital pen, the digital ink, convert that to the digital world, and then transform that into your workflow so that you can take your notes, you can share your documents, can be device independent, operating system independent, and you can also work with a whole variety of documents and formats and have a information flow. Collaboration, for example, is another feature that comes out.
All right. So let's talk about cool stylus and ink innovations in HMI. Gary, what are some of the cool examples about innovations in this space that you've seen recently?
Okay. So this is the fun part. There's been three major problems with digital ink over the years. I know some people would say, gosh, we go all the way back to the old Apple Newton and that stuff never works and you end up with egg freckles when you write something. And no, that doesn't work. Those days are long, long gone. We've gone from plastic sticks to digital stylus that are smart. They know about pressure. They know about tilt. They know about the feel of the pen itself on the digital surface. The lag is gone, the accuracy, the parallax, all those issues. So that's the first problem, a good pen. The Microsoft Surface Pen, the Apple Pencil are two examples, and there's many more. The Wacom products are superb. The second problem is the actual recognition itself. There, MyScript enjoyed a real good leadership position on the accuracy, and not only the accuracy, but also math, equations, shapes, diagrams, graphics, geometry, and so on and so forth. The third problem is once you convert something, what do you do with it? When you think about note-taking, the single largest dilemma that everybody has is if they write in ink, even if there is a way to flawlessly translate it into a digital format, you end up with these little islands of more or less static of digital information. Can't be edited in ink. It has to be edited and transported over to a digital document and then edited. So you have this discontinuity between the natural input you want, which is the stylus, and the digital input, which is the primary workflow for our documents, our emails, our presentations, and so on and so forth. So the big problem is, how do we make this transition? How do we bridge from the one to the other? This is the new technology that MyScript has introduced, and you're going to be seeing new applications and SDK availability of that technology this year. This is called Interactive Ink. And what Interactive Ink allows us to do is to write ink that, instead of storing it in the old bitmap format or ink stroke format, we group these ink strokes or bitmaps. In the case of most ink nowadays, it's ink strokes, and we allow it to be represented as a full digital character. So unlike note-taking apps today, where if you write a T and you go to erase it, you erase first the vertical line, then the horizontal line, or if you need space between a word, it's almost impossible to create space in your ink. You have to last through some ink and cut it and move it and paste it, and then you have some space, and if you need more space, it still isn't working well. What we do is we allow the ink to have the characteristics of a flow-based document, just like characters with a keyboard. So if you want to cross something out, you cross, put a line through one character, it disappears. If you want to close a gap, there's a gesture to close. If you want to split, there's a gesture to open. And you can do all your edits, even with digital text, with the stylus. This has never been done before. Once you do that, now all your ink has the same characteristics as a web page or a digital document. If I take it from a large screen device to a small screen device, or I go from landscape mode to portrait mode, the ink can reflow. What I might have written as two or three lines can now, perhaps if I go from landscape to portrait, might be five or six lines. It reflows. I don't lose anything. It's fluid. It's flowing. The ink becomes alive. It has longevity. I can work with it, and I can make it work not only in ink, but if I do recognition, I can still edit in ink and have a mixture of ink and text, and then finally convert it all to text as I do my editing and my workflow creation. And of course, that is perfect for exporting it into all the digital formats that we like today. Put it into a web page. Send it to a blog. Put it into your emails. That is a beautiful part of the interactive ink. We also get to treat ink objects along with these character ink objects. So we can have diagrams. We can have math equations. We could have geometric capabilities all intermixed in the document. We can have headlines called out, titles called out. And you can do all this in a natural writing format with digital ink with a pen and have it flow to your final document, much the way you would compose and format things with a keyboard. So now the stylus has been elevated with the capability and flexibility of a flow-based input method, just like a keyboard would. And there will be times you'll want to use the stylus. There'll be times you'll want to use the keyboard. It's multimodal and one more tool for the users to have at their disposal to enhance productivity and enhance ease of use.
That is super cool. I love it. All right, Gary, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, we were speaking earlier. You designed a ground-mounted solar installation that is quite large for your house. So tell me more about this project, and what were the biggest challenges that you encountered?
Oh, gosh. Yes. Put on my geek hat here, and we designed and installed a rather large solar capability. I consume a lot of energy, and I wanted to offset it all. We also didn't want these solar panels on the roof where many people feel that they're not that attractive. So we designed a way to put them on the ground about 800 feet away from my house, hidden behind the woods, to make the run of the wires all the way up work. We had to run some pretty high DC voltages and put the inverters up near the house. It was a lot of things that we did on the design, but net of it is that on a beautiful sunny day, I can run my house and still put over 20 kilowatts back to the grid. So it offsets all my nighttime usage and cloudy day usage. It's a commercial type of installation but it was done on a residence and it was done in a budget. So the real challenge was the budgets and the functionality of making that magnitude of energy safe and integrating into the grid. That was the real challenge.
I am impressed. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Gary.
Oh, thank you. And look forward to the interactive ink applications that will be coming. Any of your engineers that want access to the SDKs, they'll be coming up here within the next couple months. We'll most likely produce a showcase note-taking application to highlight how this works. I wish you could see it. Once you see interactive ink in action, you'll go, wow, and you'll never want to use any other method of digital ink input.
I love it. Thanks so much, Gary.
Thank you.
We all need a little embedded vision in our lives once in a while, right? Okay, not that kind of embedded vision. Somebody has been spending a bit too much time at Comic-Con. No, I'm talking about one of the hottest design applications in the EE world today. But, as you probably already know, when designing advanced applications such as embedded vision, one of the last things you're probably thinking about is, what kind of connector should I use? But as you probably already know as well, choosing the right connectors for the job can be a make or break decision in the success of your product. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk called Molex Embedded Vision, I sit down with Tony Schiappata and Chris Slinkman from Molex to talk about selecting the best connectors for embedded vision design. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Or you can also head on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal. Hey, and you can even navigate on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Oh yeah, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EEJournal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including a cool YouTube video of MyScript Interactive Ink in action, oh yes, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, see you at DVCon next week, everyone. Or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of February 26th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.